praise. We lift you up. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, because you hold us in the palm of your hands and that you create us to worship you. We are wired to give you praise and to give you honor and adoration, and that's our goal today. We just want to lift up your name, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for reigning in this place. Yes. Have your way today. Just, Lord, we are just so excited to just worship you and give you all the honor and all the glory that's due your name. In Jesus' name and for the sake of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Welcome. Isn't it great to worship God? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And that was Marina's first time that she led worship here, so yeah. Be encouraged. We've been in the throne room. We've been in the throne room of the King. We just worship him, and I love it. It's just simple, you know, and it's just pure, giving God the glory. It's, you know, it really isn't rocket science. You don't need a university degree. All you got to do is open up your heart and say, thank you, Jesus. You are my Savior. You're my God. Isn't that great? And he is worthy. Do you know that? He is worthy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He's a holy God. And like we saw last week, in Hebrews, we need to worship him in reverence and in awe. He's an amazing God. Amen. I'm a little bit confused that the Ebernals are sitting there. Is there something wrong with over? Just bugging you. You can sit wherever you want. You can kneel. You can come to the front. You can praise God. There's some people who dance. There's some who raise their hands and some who don't. You know, that's real freedom. Freedom is that we don't all do the same thing. You know, if everyone around you is raising your hands, you can do that. You don't need to do that. You have the freedom to do it or the freedom not to do it. Amen? Now, let's pray. Thank you, God, that we are here to worship you. It is a beautiful day, a beautiful time of the year. We see all the changing colors, and we're reminded of the amazing God that you are. Today, Lord, we just pray that you'll keep us in the palm of your hands and that we will be reminded of your protective care and of your passionate, fierce love that you have for each one of us. Thank you for being faithful. And Lord, we come here today, and yeah, sometimes we bring our brokenness and our troubles and maybe the things that we need healing for. I know there's a few people here that need healing. And so we're here today, God, just with open hands and open hearts and saying, God, just give. We want to receive from you, Lord. We want to receive your touch. We're not here by accident or by coincidence. We're here today for this very purpose, and that we praise and that we worship the living God. You're not a dead God, and you're not a God that's way off in some galaxy. You're a God who lives in our hearts through the Son, Jesus Christ. So just have your way. Make us receptive and soften our hearts today. We want to receive all that you have for us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. My brother from South Sudan, you're going to speak a little bit today, correct? Come. I'm glad you came. For a while, I thought you weren't going to be here. But why don't you come on up? God bless you. Yeah. You got to tell us your name, and then share with what's going on in your life, and I want you to know that we're here to just encourage you. I know that we don't know you very well, but he asked last week for an opportunity to speak about, I'll let him tell you all about it, but a project that he's doing in South Sudan. It's a water project, and you can tell us a little bit about your life.
I will try.
Okay, well, I won't try to tell your story. You tell it.
I thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity, and I thank you all for listening to my story. I'm not going to say a lot of it. I was a child soldier when I was back home in Sudan. Though I came here 16 winters ago, And I've been living here for those 16 winters. I become not to love them. But I have no choice but to leave them. And I'm feeling like I'm missing snow already. Sorry for those who don't like snow. I don't like it either, but it's part of our life now. 2 years ago, I did produce a documentary of my life story, which narrate what I went through and what millions of other children are going still through today. And it is in the form of a documentary, like I will just show you right now. The documentary is called Ladder of My Life. It's 39 minute comprised story of over 21 years of a struggle. But it's not unique to any other child soldier that you guys may have heard of. I'm part of those lost boys of Sudan, if one of I've heard of. What I'm doing with this story, this is the different story. What I'm doing with it, I'm trying to get back to the community where I was raised, was God chooses me to be part of them. And I'm trying to get back to them by making this documentary and make people aware in this part of the world that life is not as we see it here. Pastor, just say one thing very important, that we all come here with our brokenness. We all have our brokenness. This is my brokenness. I produced this documentary 2 years ago and founded a project, a clean drinking water project to my people back home. They have never had a clean drinking water in their life. They still don't have it. So when the first well is going to be contract, it will be the first time in their life to get clean drinking water. Something here we get for granted. And so, with the help of Crossroad Church, many of you may know, we have generated so far, Crossroad Church and A Better World, we have generated so far $31,000 of donation. My target is to be able to provide clean drink water to 90,000 people in one village. They don't have one well yet, but I'm targeting to start with five wells. One well costs $15,000 to dig the well, the bar hole in the well, and the constructions. It's $15,000 US over there. Do I have two wells already? Yes, I think so, with this $31,000. The project also has been blessed with private donation that has donated to my account or to the account of the project $40,000 that need to be matched. And that's why I'm seeking for that $40,000 to be matched. The DVD sale probably is not the value of the story, but the totality of whatever I'm getting here is going to the project, and it's $20 for one of these. You don't have to buy it. I brought some envelope there, which look like this. It's a plier form that you can take home and pray on it. What God will tell you to do with it. You can donate 1 cent. That 1 cent will be made by another cent that the guy has already donated. So I just bring you this brokenness to you, add it to what you have already. And Pastor, I'm not going to take longer because I know there's a lot of things that are going on. I'm so, so grateful for this opportunity. I will be sitting there in the back. There is a table outside. When you go out here, grab an envelope. Take it to your home and go pray for it. And there is information there and everything, isn't it? If you feel like you want to buy a DVD too, it's fine. I will leave one with the pastor for those who want to watch it collectively. And it's free of charge that I will leave with him. But if you want to buy a DVD on your way out, share it with your friend, go for it. May God bless you this Sunday, and thank you so much.
Okay, so one thing you're wrong about is that you're going to be done early. That isn't going to be happening here. So I want you to keep that. I want you to hold it a little closer to your mouth, because some people can't hear you very well. So right up like that. All right, because I'm going to ask you a few questions. I think that God's not done with you yet, so I'm not done with you yet. And then in a minute, we're going to get into these that He said $200, right? $200 for a...
He's an open-handed.
If you want to buy a DVD for $200, they're here. And I mean, do you really want a $20 DVD if you can get a $200 one? Honestly. So, you know what? You need to tell us a little bit about South Sudan. We know something about it, but I think if we're honest, we're kind of ignorant. We don't know that much. So tell us what's going on in South Sudan.
Well, South Sudan about 2 years ago or 3 years ago and so was not a country by itself. It was attached to the Sudan that many of you know. But then through the struggle of 190 years of people with a desire to be free and be independent, we achieved a country called South Sudan today. We were fighting for 190 years, generations and generations was fought. But for the last 21 years straight, which include my generations, it started in 1983. You may have heard why, with whom are you guys fighting with? We were fighting with a government that was predominantly by Arab culture and Islam. Mm-hmm. And they was trying to Islamize everyone by force. There's nothing wrong about being a Muslim. There's nothing wrong about being a Christian. But there's something wrong about imposing it into other people. Because you do not impose religions on other people. Let them choose freely if they're convinced. And they can worship that God in their own way. Pastor just said something here. When you come to the church, you're free to raise your hand to dance, to jump, but don't tell me jump and raise your hand. Because I won't do it to please my God, I will do it to please you. Right. And that's what was happening in South Sudan. People fought, 21 years of war straight, over 3 million of people's life was lost, and generation was set back from civilization 10,000 years back. But 3 years ago, we achieved that independence through a referendum of people. And many Sudanese here in Calgary, in Red Deer, in Alberta, they voted. I was among them. And I was part of this story because I was a child soldier myself.
How old were you then?
I was 9 years old. Wow. No. Today, I'm reaching 4 decades. It was 30 years ago. But it looked like it was today to me because my mind is still fresh. When you become a soldier, you don't forget anything. It's even worse when you become a child soldier. Everything is go on to your vein and it never come out. But about a year ago, 10 months ago, the South Sudan that we fought so hard for, cost so many lives, raised so many expectations when we have a country, again, it's fall back into a civil war. Mm-hmm. And as we speak now, over 50,000 within the last 10 months have been killed. Wow. 1.5 million people have been displaced in their home and become refugees inside their own country. Over 300,000 are going back to the neighbor country that they've been living in refugee camp for 20-something years, Sudan included, the country that we just separated from. And with the background that I just gave you, they have no other choice but to go back. You know, because human being, you have to save your life, and you do everything to save your life. Mm-hmm. This is what turmoil South Sudan is going through today. There is also a famine looming. If this problem is not solved within the next year, the worst catastrophe of human being ever will happen. 3.7 million of people have been threatened by the famine. 50,000 children will die within the next 2 months if the problem is not solved. In fact, the signs are already there. So I will invite you, if you have internet and you can read news, go and read by yourself. Check the fact of what I'm talking about today. Do we have hope? Yes. As a Christian, we always hope that we do not choose to create ourselves, but He does. And He planned everything. And He knows when it's going to end. And we're hoping on that. So this is the little bit I can tell you about South Sudan.
That's cool.
Where it's situated, is in Africa. It's in Eastern Africa. It borders 6 countries. Among them, Ethiopia to the east, Uganda and Kenya to the south, Republic of Democratic of Congo to the west, Chad or Central Africa to the west, and then Sudan to the north. It's also the country, probably many of you who read Bible may become familiar with this. If you go to Isaiah 18 and Genesis, it used to be called land of Cush. Who is Cush? Son of Noah. So in the Genesis, it's talk about sons of Noah and generation of Noah. When they were separated, where did they go? One of them is Cush, or a grandson or great-grandson of Noah, who's Cush, who was living in that area, and we are descendant of Cush.
Amen. How old were you when you came to Canada?
What a question. 16 winters ago, added to my 40 years now.
Were you a Christian?
Yes.
In South Sudan, were you raised in a Christian family, or how?
Was not raised in a Christian family. I myself became Christian before my mom, my dad became Christian. My mom became Christian afterward. I have already become a Christian. And my father was assassinated by the Sudan government in 1996. He also turned to be Christian by then. For those who don't know, South Sudan actually is the fastest growing Christianity in the world.
That's great.
I don't have the statistic exactly, but when we started the war 30 years ago, probably there was less Christian than today. I went back to my village where there was no church at all when I left, and every hut, 30 years after, had a cross in his hat.
Amen.
Yeah. And that is the work of God. That's why we have a lot of hope that this thing will go away one day. I'm seeing the light at the end of a tunnel.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you. Don't go away yet. So I've been just trying to listen. I know that God wants us to pray for you. And I'm going to ask Tola to come and pray. But I kind of hesitated to do that because people are going to think, well, sure, he's the black guy and he's going to pray for the black guy. That's not what this is about. So I want to make sure that you don't think that. I want Tola to come and pray because Tola is a prayer. And I just feel like God wants you to do that. So would you come up and pray? Tell us again your name.
My name is Moni Benny. That is the way I can put it.
Moni Benny.
Moni Benny.
All right.
I can make it difficult.
Don't make it difficult.
Okay.
We're not that smart. Can you pray for our brother? Moni Benny.
Father, we thank you. Lord, we give you all the glory because you're God.
Yes, God.
Lord, I thank you for your Son, oh God, that you have brought to our midst today. I thank you because you're a faithful God. You are the one that knows the beginning from the end. And you know the end from the beginning. You are the Lord God Almighty. I thank you because there is nothing impossible for you to do, O God. Father, thank you for his journey. Thank you for his life. Thank you for where he's from, O God. Great Africa. Father, thank you, O God, for everything you have been doing through him, O God. Thank you, Father, Lord, for where you're taking him to. Father, thank you because the Bible says the steps of the righteous are ordered by you, O God. Thank you because you are ordering his steps. Thank you, Father, Lord God, because as he goes, O Lord, you're going to go before him. You're going to lead him, O God. You're going to make his journey smooth. You're going to make the crooked way smooth, O God. Father, you're going to make mountain fall at his feet, O God. You're going to increase his anointing, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, you will make your grace to abound with him. Lord, you will glorify your name in his life. You will make him a vessel unto honor, O God. You will make him like two-edged sword, O Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, Lord God, we commit Africa into your hands, O God. You are the God of all flesh, Lord. Father, we thank you because great and mighty things you'll do. The whole world is said to be in your hand, O God. And the Bible says your eyes go through and through the earth. Lord, we pray, O God, that you will heal the land in the name of Jesus. Not just Africa, O God, even Canada in the name of Jesus. Father, you will heal our land, O God. You will heal our land, O God. You will heal our land, O God. I know presently so many things is happening, and probably you're grieved. Thank you because you're a faithful God. Father, we pray, O Lord God Almighty, that your healing power will fall upon our land in the name of Jesus. Your peace will reign, O God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, as many Christians that are there, O Lord, that are being persecuted because of the cross, as many Christians, O God, that are out there, that are suffering, O Lord, as many Christians that are out there, that are in pains, that are houseless, Lord, Father, we are praying for your comfort. We are praying for your shield. We are praying, O God, for your manifestation. We are praying, O Lord, for your move in their lives, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everywhere, O God, around the world, where Christians are going through hell, Father, we pray, O God, that you let your comfort rest upon them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your grace be sufficient for them. Father, please don't let them fall out of faith in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for your son, O God. Thank you for the height you're taking him onto. Thank you, Father, for your protection, O Lord, upon his life. Thank you for his family. Thank you for everything you would do. And Father, thank you mostly for this great church, O God. Thank you for the people that are in here, O Lord. Thank you for how you're moving in their lives. Thank you, O Lord, for the love that reigns in this church. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the great things you're going to do. For we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. So I just want to ask you one question. If someone wants to write a check, can we make it out to Crossroads or can we make it out to Better World? Okay. There's going to be a couple of canisters as you go out today. If you are led by God to give, if you want to write a check, it's to A Better World. That's a charitable organization.
And then you put a memo at our water for our.
Okay. And some of these will be at the back so they can fill these out. Okay.
I have those in there. Whenever you write a check, whenever you write a check, you're going to write a check, write it to A Better World, and then memo is to Water for a Tar, so that they know which project it's going to.
Amen.
Amen. This is for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. Amen. I'm guessing you could probably also write checks to Crossroads, and they'd be happy if you did that. But let's do it to A Better World. And in doing so, you know, every $15,000 goes to a water project, right? That's what you said? For a water well, yes, a water well. And I know we didn't get into it enough, but there's a great need for that. I know you said that the water is very dirty, and obviously what happens from that is there's a lot of disease. It also affects the health of people. So, hey, this is a great opportunity. And this is an opportunity. He said to me, "Oh, it's such a great opportunity to be able to speak to you." But you know, that's really not true. The opportunity isn't his. The opportunity is ours. We have the opportunity to give and to be generous, as God has been generous to us. Amen. I'm going to open God's Word today. And I just think it's so cool how the Holy Spirit works, and how this passage that I was led to speak on today just fits in so well. Not just for our brother from South Sudan, but I think for probably a lot of us. Psalm 91 today. God just really hit me with this psalm, and just a reminder of who he is and what he's doing in our lives, and that God is real, you know, that God actually takes care of us. And those aren't just words, that he really does take care of us. He really loves you. He really loves you. He loves you like, you know, if you have kids, if you got a son or a daughter, he loves you in that same sort of a way. He's got a fierce love for you. He wants to protect you. And today, that's our focus, is just on the protective hand of God. Read with me from Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. Isn't that great? And that's got to be one of the, just real treasures of the Psalms, that we know the protective hand of God, and that these are words not just for the Israelites. You know, these were kind of written about 1,000 years before Jesus came. These are words for you and me. That he protects us. When we got cancer, he protects us. He protects us, Dawn, when you fall, like you fell this week. He protects you. I know you fell and you still bruised your arm, but could have been a lot worse, right? He's a protective God who, the word says that he watches over you. He's careful to see everything that's going on in our lives. And whether it's the pestilence or the plague, and we hear a lot about plagues these days and sickness and viruses, isn't it good news to hear that you have a God, I have a God who protects us, that he surrounds us? And I love that imagery that he's got this big feathery wing, you know, that he puts his wing and he covers us over with his wing. Can you put those first two verses on? He covers you with his wing. He protects you because you love him. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will protect him. I will watch over him. Even the arrow, whew, that flies by night, you know, or the terror of night. Because he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You say amen? I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for God's protective hand. And I'll be honest with you, lately, there's been some incidents in my life that I've just really needed to depend on that. There have been just a few more threats than normal. And even someone's coming to me yesterday saying, I just want you to know that so-and-so, he's out to get you. You know, so you just should know it. And I go, well, I got angels protecting me. So, you know, and, you know, there's just nothing to be afraid. I am not going to be afraid because he has removed the terror. Maybe that's a word for someone else who's here today, because the enemy uses fear in so many of our lives. So many people today, they're so afraid, and they don't hardly even get out of their little world because the enemy is all about fear. He wants you to be afraid, right? He wants to use fear to debilitate any of the power that God has already given you. So just stand on this today, that you don't need to be afraid, because he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. He's my God. I trust in him. He's always watched over me. He's always protected me. He's always been faithful to me. And you know, that can happen in all kinds of different ways. He can protect us from physical things, from accidents, from, you know, how many times we drive our cars. And he can protect us from sickness, the Bible says. He can protect us from terror and from fear, like I talked about already, right? Whatever it is that the enemy wants to use against you or against me, any way to beat us down or to make us sick or to destroy our lives, he can protect us from those things, and he promises that he will do that. And he does it in a variety of different ways. One of the ways that I'm protected is through you. It's one of the reasons why being a part of a body of Christ is so important. Because you're praying for me, and I have never experienced that like I have in this group of people. There was a time in my life when I was a pastor of a pretty big church, and there wasn't a whole lot of prayer going on. We just weren't into prayer. I wasn't into prayer. It wasn't their fault. We just didn't pray much. But I know that I have the protective armor of God because of your prayers for me, and I'm so thankful for that. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm not necessarily encouraging you to text me, but I do get texts regularly from people saying, I'm praying for you today. Again, I say, I'm not necessarily encouraging you to text me, because that text thing goes off a lot in my life. But it's such an encouragement to know you're praying for me, and it gives me power, and it gives me strength, and it gives me the ability to resist the enemy. And when he attacks me, or even when he wants to threaten me physically, I know that there is the protective hand, because my body is holding me up. My fellowship, my community are holding me up. That's a great thing. That's one of the ways that we're protected. Another way is, you know, there's lots of them, but the Bible talks about how we have the armor of God. And we read about that. Paul talks about the armor of God, that we need to put on the armor of God, that we need to do it on a daily basis. We need to take on the shield of faith. We need to take on the word of God as a sword, right? We need to be prepared with the gospel in our feet, that shod with the gospel of peace as we go out. God gives us spiritual armor. Amen? Spiritual armor that work to protect us and work so that we can be on the offensive against the enemy. We're not just always doing this. You know, sometimes we're doing that. Sometimes we're just, you know, hunkering down, and I got the shield up, and I got to hold on, and it's going to take a day here. But you know, that armor is also so we can just go forward. We go forward, right? I've got the armor of God. And let's be clear about this. The victory has already been won, right? The victory's already been won. I don't need to go out in battle wondering if we're going to win this or not. We've already won. Christ has risen. He has risen from the dead. I serve a risen Savior. And he's in the world today, right? So even though I might lose, or I might seem to lose a battle now and then, and I do, the war has been won. Right? The war has been won. Know this today, right? We all need to know this. I'm just encouraging you today that if you think you're losing the battle, you are not. The battle's already been won, and that battle can be an addiction, or it can be, you know, depression, it can be a sickness, it can be a relationship that you think is falling apart. You have not lost that battle because of Jesus Christ. We are even more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. I just think it's time we start looking like that, right? We should start looking like conquerors. I have the living, risen Christ in me. Yeah, that sends the enemy fleeing. And another way, and this is the one that really comes up in Psalm 91, you know, about how are we protected? We talk about the armor of God. We talk about prayer that we do for each other. All that's really good. But I like what it says, though, in Psalm 91, that he protects us with his angels. Let me read it for you again. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. Here we go. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Amen? You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. You should have said amen while I was drinking. I mean, amen. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is pretty good news. So there are real angels, you mean? And yes, the word says, yes, there are real angels, and those real angels will protect you. Those, have you ever thought that we can actually pray to God? We don't pray to angels, but we can pray to God to send us those angels. Yeah? You know that guardian angels, that's a good theme in Hollywood, and it makes some good Christmas movies. But that, as a matter of fact, there really are guardian angels. There really are angels that God sends to protect me. And not just one, because I would need a lot more than just one. God sends his angels, it says, right? He sends his angels to protect us. Hebrews chapter 1, I think it's verse 13, says, "And are not all angels, ministering spirits, sent to you, sent to those who are inheriting an eternal and everlasting life?" Are not all angels doing that? That's what they're for. We think that they're up there just playing their harps. And maybe they do because they like their harps. But that's not what they're there for. Angels are there for me and for you and for our protection and to minister to us and to protect us and to watch over us. And I know in my life, and my wife can attest to this, angels have been all around me. You can't always see them, but God's angels have been protecting me, keeping me from sin, you know, keeping me from harm, keeping me from sickness. And the good news is that the same is true for you. You can hold on to this as a truth. I'm not making this up. Angels are there for us. Even though we are a little lower than the angels, they're there for us to help us and to protect us and to keep the enemy, isn't it great that it says this, and to keep the enemy far from our tent. Man, I want him a long ways away from my tent. Don't you? I don't want him anywhere near the tent. I don't want him on the grounds. I don't want him in the campground. I don't want him anywhere close to me or my children. So I just plead the blood of Jesus, and I pray for his ministering angels to just surround me and to surround us. We need that protective covering of God. Now remember that it was actually Satan himself who quoted Psalm 91, that when Jesus was in the desert for 40 days, and when he was being tempted by Satan, and near the end of it when he was his most vulnerable, that Satan came to Jesus and he said, "Why don't you just throw yourself off of the mountain here? Because, Jesus, your word, the Bible says that the angels will protect you. The word of God says that he will send his angels to guard you and to protect you." And you remember what Jesus said. He said, "No, devil. No, devil. The word of God also says that you should not put your God to the test, and so I will not be doing that." But Satan used God's word to try to incite Jesus to sin, to not trust in God, right? Now, why am I saying that? Well, Matthew tells us, and only I think it's only Matthew that tells us this, that after that was all said and done, yeah, the angels came and they ministered to Jesus. And the point is, I really believe this is important, the point is that we don't get to call on the angels. He does. And we can't put God to the test. We need to just allow God to do what he wants to do in our lives, in our church, in our families. It doesn't say that we will call upon the angels. It says he will call upon his angels. He will. He will call upon his angels, and they will protect you and they will guard you against all evil. And that means that, what it really means is that a lot of times we're left just trusting God, right? I can't command angels. You can try it. It doesn't work. Angels don't respond to me. They respond to their creator. They respond to their God. We need to stand back and just trust in our God and say, God, have your way. I trust you. I believe you. I know you're going to protect me. I know you've protected me all along. And I just pray and I ask you, God, since you are the commander of the myriads and the legions of angels, since you are the commander, I am more than prepared to stand back and say, Lord, send those angels to protect me. Whether that's in Canada, or whether that's in Kenya or Nigeria or in South Sudan, God, send your angels, because your people all over the world need your protection. The enemy is at war. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he's doing whatever he can to chew up anyone who is available, anyone who can be chewed up. So God, I trust you. And that's really what Psalm 91, that's the theme of it all. I'm trusting you, God. I'm trusting you. I will dwell in you, God. I dwell in the shadow of your wings. I dwell, Lord, in your shelter. Yeah. Let's go back to that. Put that back on the screen, 1 and 2. And because there's one other thing we just got to really get to today. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, here's the promise. You will rest in the shadow of the Almighty One. And he kind of says the same thing. I think you had it on earlier in verse 9. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. Let me just say that again. I want you to think about this. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you or come near your tent. I think the question is, this is a really hard question, and you're not going to like my answer. But the question is, are we really doing that? Are we really making the Most High our dwelling? Yeah. We need to. Yeah, you have to. Well, bless you, brother. Wow. Then you do have to. Yeah. Good. And I'm glad to hear that. And you're not the only one. And what you're really saying is that we have to do this. We need to be there, right? We need to make him our dwelling. We need to live in him. Yeah. Wow. I believe that. But you knew that you had the protective hand of God in you. Yeah. Amen. And you know it. If I'm understanding, and we don't know each other, but because you dwell, you know, you dwell in that place where God is. And that's what he's saying here, okay? And I agree with you. And I just want to make that the point today, that it's all about the if, though. It's all about if we have to be dwelling in the Most High. If you make the Most High your dwelling, then all of these promises that you're talking about, that you're testifying to today, all those promises are going to be real. But it depends on something. And it's like most of God's promises or even his covenants in the Old Testament, they're conditional. They start with an if. If you make the Most High your dwelling, you can count on all the rest of it to be true. Amen? If you make the Most High your dwelling, then you can be absolutely certain that he will protect you, that he'll watch over you, no matter what dangerous place you might find yourself, no matter what sickness you might be encountering. If you make the Most High your dwelling, if you do that, right, then you can stand in that victory. And I'm going to challenge you today, and I know that some of us are living that way, but I'm also pretty sure that there's some of us who might say, you know, I could do a lot better job of actually living in Christ, because that's what he's talking about. I know some people I've talked to not too long ago, they say, you know, I used to read my Bible a whole lot more than I do now. I used to be more of a worshiper. I used to pray more, but I'm not doing it like I used to do. I see a few hands up. Thanks for being honest. The reality is that, you know, we need to make the Most High our dwelling place, and what that means is we need to really dwell in him. Are you? And some of you might be able to answer that question today by going, amen, I'm doing that. I'm dwelling in God. I'm there 100%. Praise God for that. But I want to speak to those of you who might be saying, you know what? I've been kind of sliding down that slippery slope. And I have not been making the Lord God my dwelling place. I've been visiting him from time to time. Right? I've been visiting him from time to time, but I'm not making him my dwelling place. I'm not living in him. Paul said in Acts, or it's Peter actually who said it. He said, in him we move and breathe and have our being. Right? In him I move and I breathe or I live and I have my being. And let's be honest that sometimes in our lives, other things start challenging us for the time that it takes to spend with God. That we're not into the word like we should be into the word. Or maybe, how about fasting? Some of you used to fast, and you haven't fasted for a long time. Or you're fasting quickly. You know, one of the reasons why we fast, and it may not be for everybody, but one of the reasons why we fast is so we have that time to really dwell in Christ. It's that time. The word dwell really means to abide and to remain. You know, John 15 talks about remaining in the vine. And Jesus made a promise. He said, if you remain in me, I'll remain in you. We need to abide. We need to dwell. We need to remain in Christ. Fasting, you know, one of the things that happens with when I fast is I get hungry. It might just be me. But as I get hungry and as I have, and I'm not telling you that I'm a great faster. I know I'm being convicted on this again. But what happens when I fast is I'm reminded about God. When I get a hunger pang, I go, okay, that's you again, Lord. Thinking about God, dwelling on God, remembering God, meditating on God. Are we doing that? Because if we dwell, he says that if you dwell in the Most High, then he'll protect you, and he'll care for you, and he'll send his angels, and they'll minister to you. Are we meditating? You know, are we reading the word? Are we going to church? I know you're all going to church, but there's 50 people that aren't here today, and our church is no different than anyone else, and I hope you just bear with me. And I know it's got nothing to do with church attendance, that your relationship to God is something totally different, but church attendance is indicative of where I stand with God and whether I'm really dwelling in him or not. And it's so easy to be distracted by other things or watch the football game or to do something different instead of fellowshipping and worshiping together. We need this. Man, I need to be here with you guys. We need to gather together. We need to support each other. And we're so easily distracted. The phone, it's the one thing I don't bring with me. It's the only time throughout the week because of my life and my job and the thing. I don't bring my phone to work. I don't bring my phone when I'm preaching. And that's a wonderful thing. I leave it at home. I got to learn to leave it more often, and because it gets in the way. Because when I'm trying to dwell, you understand me? When I'm trying to dwell, it rings. And I am controlled more by my phone than I am by the Holy Spirit. And that's a confession. Or it's the television. And how much time we're sitting with that remote in our hands watching sports or The Good Wife or whatever it is that's on TV. You know, instead of... Some people love The Good Wife, I guess. Right? But you know what I'm saying? Like, we need... Yeah. We need to dwell. We need to dwell in Christ. And I want you to... And then God, it's not what I want. God wants us to think about what that means. Do you meditate? Do you just think about me? Or is there always some background noise going on in your life? Whether it's the radio or your phone... Or the TV or computers. I got kids. They're not here, so I can talk about them. But I'm no kidding. You call them, and I know that I got one son. He's doing 10 things while he's talking to me on the phone. And I, sometimes I got to say to him, hey, I'm on the other end here. You know, can you put that thing away for a minute? I just want to talk to you for 5 minutes. I think God wants that too. I think that's what God would say. Can you put that thing away? Because I want you to dwell in me. I want you to remain in me. The word literally means to sit. Will you just, and here's what God says, will you just sit with me? And will you just be quiet? Just shut up. No offense, sister. We don't know each other, right? So, but I mean, just be still. How about if you let me talk for a bit? All I hear from you is all the stuff you want. Bless me, God, this and that. Just be quiet and let me just be with you. I just want to be with you, right? Some of you know that we have a little building project going on in our house, and I got some people that work outside. They're doing some building for us. It's exciting. We're glad about it. But one of them, a couple guys last week, they needed to use our bathroom, which makes perfect sense. And they asked if they could just come through the side door and use our bathroom. And of course, I said yes. Of course you can. And then it dawned on me that you know, that's kind of how it is for a lot of people, that we just want to use God's bathroom, but we don't really want to dwell with them. See, those workers, they don't live with me. My good wife, she lives with me. They don't live with me. They just use my bathroom a couple times a day. And it's kind of what we do with God. Hey, God, you knock on his door. Can I just use your bathroom? What I'd like to do is just kind of come in and get out real quickly, and I'll feel better when I'm done. I know, it's a little bit graphic, but it's true. It's true. And you know what? I'm just saying, God wants you to use more than his bathroom. He says, get into the house with me. Come to my kitchen. Spend some time in my living room. Spend some time with me in the garage, God's saying. I want you in the whole, I want you to dwell with me. Just use me to get a quick forgiveness or a quick absolution, and then you feel better and you leave and you go, well, that was good. No. Come into my house and dwell with me. Do you get that? Are you hearing that today? Yeah. I want you to close your eyes. Just close your eyes and listen to these words of Jesus. And as I read this, picture as intricately and as carefully as you can. Picture this, what he says. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will even bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. For this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And just keep your eyes closed. I want you to do this. I just ask you to ask God just that one simple question. Father, how can I remain in you? And how can I dwell in the shelter of the Most High? What do you want? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What needs to be trimmed or completely removed from my life, God? And where are you not absolutely first in my life? Show me, God. Thank you, Jesus.
You say amen? One thing before we sing this last song is that here's one other way that we can just, I think, really dwell in God. On Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, our church is a part of a number of churches coming together for prayer. And the whole point of it is to be united. We just want to join with other believers and acknowledge that we are one in the Spirit and one in the Lord. We're meeting at the Harvest, what's it called? The Harvest Center. It's a big word. I wasn't sure how to say it. We meet in the Harvest Center, and we're just going to come for prayer. There's going to be some worship, and it's not going to be about building the kingdom of Potter's Hands. We are convicted to build the kingdom of God. Okay? Thank you, God. So let's remember that and just come on Wednesday nights, or Wednesday night, I should say. Am I missing anything, Alvin? Is that pretty much it? Thank you. Let's stand. This song, I think, just says it so well.
Sovereign in the mighty air, sovereign on the ocean floor, with me in the calm, with me in the storm. Sovereign in my greatest joy, sovereign in my deepest pride, with me in the dark, with me at the dawn.
Yeah.
close, and I know some of you got to go, but just come to the front. I think God's calling us to do that. He's calling us to get into his house. He's calling us to dwell. And he's saying, don't be afraid. Don't be a coward. Just come if I call you. Get on your knees, and let's make this right. It's time that you dwell in the shelter of the Most High. So I invite you to come. And God says that he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, that he anoints our head with oil. Mm-hmm. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. God bless you.
In your everlasting arms, all the pieces of my life, from beginning to the end, I will trust you. Just come in your never-ending love. You work everything for good, and God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you.
Jesus.